funny, usually the app just straight up crashes at the county line. Which is a weird concept. But, I don't know, today it didn't, but apparently it went dead anyway. I don't know. This fucking thing, man, I don't know what to do. It's, unreliable. Any comment on Brad Muir at Valve? Yeah, no, that seems like a great fit for Brad. I think that's cool. It's a cool move for him. I'm bummed that he'll be leaving town, but yeah, no, that's great. Hopefully he'll go work on something cool. He'll go design hats. I mean, he's already made a game that has a lot of hats in it. So, I mean, I think it's a pretty direct experience transfer there. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder what he would even work on. I wonder what the dough. I don't know how Valve distributes its resources. Like, what crew of people is focusing on each of the projects that they have going, you know? Assuming they have projects going. Maybe he'll design a better, like, team-based clicker for the next holiday sale. Yeah, I don't know. You hear about the way Valve works and the way that Valve operates and stuff. The little bits and pieces you do here and there makes it seem like, you know, if you came in there and you had an idea that you really believed in and you could kind of pitch it effectively, they would just go, all right, go make it. So maybe, you know, maybe we'll just get in there and, you know, pitch games and get games made. Some dude that are different from, you know, everyone, I think, wants to try to pin people to existing Valve projects, right? And go like, oh, well, obviously they've got a Dota team. Obviously they've got a, you know, Left 4 Dead team. There's, you know, the Portal people, whether they're on Portal or off Portal. Like, there's still a crew of people that you would associate with Portal. And then, you know, the Half-Life 3 crew. But I don't know. Everything I hear is, like, you know, sounds like you could float a little bit more than that. You know, you kind of, the different people move around to different things.
You think this life is luck? No shortcuts. If I could, I'd
That guy strikes me as the sort of guy that's got big ideas for video games, just needs the opportunity to make them at the scale that they exist at in his head. And Valve is probably suited to do that. If not immediately, then, you know, they put them on something and go like, alright, you know, run a Dota update and then prove you can do that. I don't know. Like, I don't know how any of that stuff works. I don't know if you go into Valve, like, with something to prove, or if you go into Valve because they know you're already legit as fuck. And they just go like, alright, well, you're here for a reason, so we trust you to go do stuff. Or, yeah, I wonder. It's hard to know. Valve's been pretty good at being pretty weird.
Spread twist a little, bump back the bend over, test is getting hard, you must begin.
Apparently this phone is just done playing music. It's just like, man, fuck this. Yeah, I agree. Oh, cool.
Hey. Saturday at the club, wild, and we start studding. A bunch of girls going wild when you turn flooded. And I had them like, wow, cup got it. Dope man. Money on the counter, choppers on the floor. I just got that tempo, DJ Muska, bro. Way too much codeine than ever, bro. We just count up, pay no cracks, whoa. I know I'ma get my bills to bank, whoa. I count all these racks that I have.
Identities, and I think it's great, this sense of like having your own identity and owning it.
Yeah.
But the amount of stress that a young person might have to sort of keep up with the likes, to me, is just, I don't even, I'm just an old man. I can't even think about it.
Sasha Jenkins, film director, tonight, make sure you watch it, 10 p.m. Who Got the Juice, the O.J. Simpson trial, 20 years later. It'll be on BET. He brought me some gifts, Heather B.
Let's see them.
He brought me the two Master Kill magazines.
Nice.
Right? Derek Andre and Tyler, the creator, on this one. What made you bring me this one? What makes you think I don't have this one already?
Oh, I don't know. I know you're in the streets. So I'm just saying, I left the office. Why not bring a gift?
Thank you.
You gave me the gift of a platform. The least I could do is come with magazines.
Absolutely. You got Kendrick Lamar, too, on this one, a spring, summer 2015 issue. I love this cover.
Great cover.
Real quick, man. One rapper who right now, of a new generation, that's important to you.
Well, you know, I really like Your Old Drew.
Your Old Drew.
Wow.
And fun fact, I discovered Your Old Drew.
Okay.
And then there was this whole conspiracy that came up because, you know, me and Nas are very cool. You know, Nas is a partner in Mass Appeal, and we went to the same really crappy junior high school where they told us we can be nothing other than people who can fix air conditioners. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But some people heard a similarity in his voice, which I didn't necessarily hear. So people created this whole crazy conspiracy, like it's Nas and Sasha Jenkins is involved or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in terms of just being really creative and how his mind works and how he flows, I mean, he's, you know, I've interviewed lots of great people. I've had the opportunity to interview Eminem and do his book, and much respect to him, and I'm appreciative of the platform that this has afforded me, Eminem. But in terms of like a young cat who's out here doing his thing, you know, he's great. You know, I just think he's such an amazing writer. And for me, it boils down to writing. I mean, I could get on my old man's soapbox and talk about the things that kids are rapping about now. I can say it's cheerleader music. I can say drugs are being glorified. And people could have said those things about that, you know, and during my generation. But I really miss creativity. I really miss like someone just being a writer and expressing themselves and not caring about likes and not caring about like having a feature with this one or that one. And I really feel like he's that kid. And, you know, he's Ukrainian, you know, but grew up in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. So he has a very particular voice. And to me, that just shows you the power of hip hop. You know, it's gone beyond where I grew up in Queens or where you grew up on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And it's influenced the world and can change lives. And, you know, he's on tour now.
Yeah.
You know, he's making music and he's doing what he really wants to do. I mean, is he going to sell millions of records? I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But he's become a working, successful musician, doing what he really feels great about and what makes him happy. So for me, you know, I'm happy to see that.
Your Old Drew. He's been here.
Yeah.
He's been on the show. Funny guy, too. Great sense of humor. And I agree with you about writing. Sasha Jenkins, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for
thank
coming
you,
by,
sir.
Man. Come back.
Have me. Hello, everyone.
You're more than welcome to come back. We want to thank our guests that came by today. Illa J came by today, got the new album, Illa J. I want to thank Rashir Gray of Empire, a.k.a. Yaz, a.k.a. Hakeem Lyons. And then make sure you see us Sway in the Morning on Empire tonight.
9 p.m.
Excited about it. Sasha Jenkins, DJ Stadium Status for coming by as well. We will be broadcasting from Atlanta tomorrow and Friday of the Florida BET Awards and A3C Music Conference. And we'll be at DJ Drama's studio.
Nope.
Okay, so Tracy G, how can people reach you?
Citizens, reach me on Twitter, also on Instagram.
What am I even listening to? Why am I listening to?
Happy hour with Heather B.
playing a little bit of that Star Wars Battlefront. It's hard right now because, you know, the beta doesn't start till tomorrow, so there aren't a ton of people on the servers. But they got two modes in that beta. One's like a 10-on-10, and then one's like the big 40-player. It's like 8-on-8 or something. You know, and then the other's like the big game. And the small game is just like collecting cogs and like, or it's just, you know, control point drops, and you gotta keep control of it for a set amount of time, and it can go back and forth before it counts as a capture. Like whatever the modes, you know, the modes, whatever, it's fine. I'm actually surprised at. I'm surprised by. I am enjoying it a lot more. I don't know. I came out of E3 like playing the co-op and thought like this is kind of neat. But it I think it looks really nice. I don't know. There's just a great look to the terrain and stuff that I thought was pretty cool. And the weapons are, you know, I don't know. The weapons are fun to fire, but I think, like, that might actually be the downfall eventually is, like, there are four weapons in that beta, and they're all just automatic rifles, really. I mean, there's one that's like a hand blaster, but, you know, I think it fires pretty much the same way. And it's just like, here you go. It's four assault rifles with zero recoil. It's like basically what that game is. And it's a different shooting experience. And there's like very generous auto aim in it also. Like that game seems like it was built for people that don't. I mean, you know, and I don't know. You know, maybe there's more gear. I mean, I assume there's got to be more gear in the full game, right? Like, this thing caps out at level 5, so you'd hope. But just from the way the auto-aim seems to work and the way the targeting kind of snaps and all that sort of stuff, like, it feels like it's a game made for people that don't necessarily play a lot of shooters. Like, they kind of sat down and went like, well, we'll get a lot of Star Wars people playing this, and they may not be Battlefield players, so we better make it easy to pick up. And you know, that's a kind way of me saying they dumbed it the hell down. But I think it's actually a lot of fun. Like, even in light of that, you know. I heard some things about the bigger mode, like bringing down AT-ATs and the mini game stuff that plays out when you do that. That sounds like it might not be that fun, but I haven't seen it yet. Ooh, man. It's funny, usually the app just straight up crashes at the county line. Weird concept, but I don't know, today didn't, but apparently it went dead anyway. I don't know, this fucking thing, man. I don't know what to do. It's unreliable. Any comment on Brad Muir at Valve? Yeah, no, that seems like a great fit for Brad. I think that's cool. It's a cool move for him. I'm bummed that he'll be leaving town, but yeah, no, that's great. Hopefully he'll go work on something cool. He'll go design hats. I mean, he's already made a game that has a lot of hats in it, so, I mean, I think it's pretty direct experience transfer there. I don't know. I wonder what he would even work on. I wonder what the I don't know how Valve distributes its resources. Like, what crew of people is focusing on each of the projects that they have going, you know? Assuming they have projects going. Maybe he'll design a better, like, team-based clicker for the next holiday sale. Yeah, I don't know. You hear about the way Valve works and the way that Valve operates and stuff. The little bits and pieces you do here and there makes it seem like, you know, if you came in there and you had an idea that you really believed in and you could kind of pitch it effectively, they would just go, all right, go make it. So maybe, you know, maybe he will just get in there and, you know, pitch games and get games made. Some dude that are different from, you know, like, you know, everyone, I think, wants to try to pin people to existing Valve projects, right? And go like, oh, well, obviously they've got a Dota team. Obviously they've got a, you know, Left 4 Dead team. There's, you know, the Portal people, whether they're on Portal or off Portal, like there's still a crew of people that you would associate with Portal. And then, you know, the Half-Life 3 crew. But I don't know. Everything I hear is like, you know, sounds like you could float a little bit more than that. You know, you kind of, the different people move around to different things. That guy strikes me as the sort of guy that's got big ideas for video games, just needs the opportunity to make them at the scale that they exist at in his head, and Valve is probably suited to do that, if not immediately, then, you know, they put him on something and go like, all right, it's, you know, run a Dota update and then prove you can do that. Well, I don't know, like, I don't know how any of that stuff works. I don't know if you go into Valve, like, with something to prove, or if you go into Valve because they know you're already legit as fuck. And they just go like, alright, well, you're here for a reason, so we trust you to go do stuff, or, yeah, I wonder. It's hard to know. Valve's been pretty good at being pretty weird. Yeah.
watch them go.
apparently this phone is just done playing music. It's just like, man, fuck this. Yeah, I agree. Oh, cool.
Identities, and I think it's great, this sense of like having your own identity and owning it.
Yeah.
But the amount of stress that a young person might have to sort of keep up with the likes, to me, is just, I don't even, I'm just
an
old man. I can't even think about it.
Sasha Jenkins, film director, tonight. Make sure you watch it. 10 p.m. Who Got the Juice? The O.J. Simpson trial. 20 years later, it'll be on BET. He brought me some gifts, Heather B.
Let's see them.
He brought me the two Master Kill magazines.
Nice.
Right? Eric Andre and Tyler, the creator, on this one. What made you bring me this one? What makes you think I don't have this one already?
Oh, I don't know. I know you're in the streets, so I'm just saying, I left the office. Why not bring a gift?
Thank you.
You gave me the gift of a platform. The least I could do is come with magazines.
Absolutely. You got Kendrick Lamar, too, on this one, the Spring Summer 2015 issue. I love this cover.
Great cover.
Real quick, man. One rapper who right now, of a new generation, that's important to you?
Well, you know, I really like Your Old Drew.
Your Old Drew.
Wow.
And fun fact, I discovered Your Old Drew.
Okay.
And then there was this whole conspiracy that came up because, you know, me and Nas are very cool. You know, Nas is a partner in Mass Appeal, and we went to the same really crappy junior high school where they told us we can be nothing other than people who can fix air conditioners. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But some people heard a similarity in his voice, which I didn't necessarily hear. So people created this whole crazy conspiracy, like it's Nas and Sasha Jenkins is involved or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in terms of just being really creative and how his mind works and how he flows, I mean, he's, you know, I've interviewed lots of great people. I've had the opportunity to interview Eminem and do his book, and much respect to him, and I'm appreciative of the platform that this has afforded me, Eminem. But in terms of like a young cat who's out here doing his thing, you know, he's great. You know, I just think he's such an amazing writer. And for me, it boils down to writing. I mean, I could get on my old man's soapbox and talk about the things that kids are rapping about now. I can say it's cheerleader music. I can say drugs are being glorified. And people could have said those things about that, you know, and during my generation. But I really miss creativity. I really miss like someone just being a writer and expressing themselves and not caring about likes and not caring about like having a feature with this one or that one. And I really feel like he's that kid. And, you know, he's Ukrainian, you know, but grew up in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. So he has a very particular voice. And to me, that just shows you the power of hip hop. You know, it's gone beyond where I grew up in Queens or where you grew up on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And it's influenced the world and can change lives. And, you know, he's on tour now.
Yeah.
You know, he's making music and he's doing what he really wants to do. I mean, is he going to sell millions of records? I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But he can, he's become a working, successful musician doing what he really feels great about and what makes him happy. So for me, you know, I'm happy to see that.
Your old drool. He's been here.
Yeah.
He's been on the show. Funny guy, too. Great sense of humor. And I agree with you about writing. Sasha Jenkins, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for
thank
coming
you,
by,
sir.
Man. Come back.
Have me. Hello,
everyone. You're more than welcome to come back. We want to thank our guests that came by today. Illa J came by today, got the new album, Illa J. I want to thank Rashir Gray of Empire, a.k.a. Yaz, a.k.a. Hakeem Lyons. And then make sure you see us Sway in the Morning on Empire tonight.
9 p.m.
Excited about it. Sasha Jenkins, DJ Stadium Status for coming by as well.
Stars.
We will be broadcasting from Atlanta tomorrow and Friday of the Florida BET Awards and A3C Music Conference. And we'll be at DJ Drama's studio.
Yo.
Okay, so Tracy G, how can people reach you?
Citizens, reach me on Twitter, also on Instagram.
What am I even listening to? Why am I listening to?
Happy hour,
whatever the beat. I've been playing a little bit of that Star Wars Battlefront. It's hard right now because, you know, the beta doesn't start till tomorrow, so there aren't a ton of people on the servers. But they got two modes in that beta. One's like a 10-on-10. And then one's like the big 40 player, or it's like 8-on-8 or something, you know, and then the other's like the big game. And the small game is just like collecting cogs and like, or it's just, you know, control point drops and you gotta keep control of it for a set amount of time and it can go back and forth before it counts as a capture. Like whatever, the modes whatever. It's fine. I'm actually surprised at I am enjoying it a lot more. I don't know. I came out of E3 like playing the co-op and thought like this is kind of neat. But it I think it looks really nice. I don't know. It's just a great look to the terrain and stuff that I thought was pretty cool. The weapons are fun to fire, but I think, like, that might actually be the downfall eventually, is, like, there are four weapons in that beta, and they're all just automatic rifles, really. I mean, there's one that's like a hand blaster, but, you know, I think it fires pretty much the same way, and it's just like, here you go, it's four assault rifles with zero recoil. It's like, basically what that game is, and it's a different shooting experience, and there's like very generous auto aim in it also. Like that game seems like it was built for people that don't, I mean, you know, and I don't know, you know, maybe there's more gear. I mean, I assume there's got to be more gear in the full game, right? Like this thing caps out at level 5, so you'd hope. But just from the way the auto-aim seems to work and the way the targeting kind of snaps and all that sort of stuff, like, it feels like it's a game made for people that don't necessarily play a lot of shooters. Like, they kind of sat down and went like, well, we'll get a lot of Star Wars people playing this, and they may not be Battlefield players, so we better, like, we better make it easy to pick up. And, you know, that's a kind way of me saying they dumbed it the hell down. But I think it's actually a lot of fun. Like, even in light of that, you know? I heard some things about the bigger mode, like bringing down AT-ATs and the mini game stuff that plays out when you do that. That sounds like it might not be that fun, but I haven't seen it yet. Ooh, man. And then, like, their, like, perk, their, like, equipment system is weird. But interesting. Like when I saw it back at E3, I thought it was gonna be like Titanfall. Like you have cards that you equip into slots. But they don't. They're not like one use cards or anything like that. They're not burn cards. It's just like, hey, you. This card is a grenade. Equip it into either your L1 or R1 slots, and then every 7 seconds you have a grenade to use. And then, like, the other one is like a sniper rifle. It's like every 9 seconds I can hit this, and then I have a single shot from a sniper rifle. Which is like an interesting way to give you kind of multiple weapons in. You know, I don't know. I'm not the guy to talk to about fucking the fiction and the fucking lore of fucking Star Wars. But, you know, you got one gun in that game. You know, it's not like, hey, I'm going to switch to the pistol now because this one's out of ammo. It's like, no, it's a blaster rifle. Like, it can overheat, but just keep fucking shooting. And then, like, you know, it's an objective map. So, like, when you capture a pod or whatever, three little icons pop out of the pod, and you pick one of those up, and that's, like, a one-use power-up. And that can be, like, a better grenade, like a thermal imploder or whatever. Or it can be, like, a turret that you can throw down or, you know, so they give you kind of little one-off little power-ups to use, too. Which, you know, like, gives you some gear variety, even if it is a little random. Because otherwise, I feel like if it was just like, I don't know, you've got a blaster rifle, keep shooting. And maybe if you get a kill streak, you become a guy with a lightsaber for one round, you know, or whatever it is. Like, I feel like that would get pretty thin. Like, that's probably a pretty hard... It's probably a pretty hard thing to design when you think about, like, differentiating between weapons in a game with a bunch of laser cannons and, you know, like, laser blasters and shit. But, you know, they do stuff like rate of fire and range. You know, you get some drop-off at the edge of your range and stuff. Like, the last thing you unlock, or the last gun that I unlocked, that I think is the last gun you unlock, is, like, fires a lot faster and doesn't do as much damage and doesn't have as good range, but, man, it fucking pumps out shots so up close. Like, it's decent, but, you know. I don't know. It's cool. It's cooler than I thought it would be. No, I don't know. I definitely heard people that were like more like die hard about their shooter fandom and trying to get all serious and all esports and all, and they were like not having it with anything in this game, which to me makes it sound like a game that I will probably be okay with. But yeah, I was in a conversation with a couple of guys yesterday that were, you know, very big Battlefield fans and stuff like that, and they were like, man, fuck this. I'm like, ah, alright, I don't know. Seems like a fun little knock-around shooter for just funning around with. At this point, that's kind of the last thing I'm looking for out of a shooter, is like, man, let's take this serious. I played, I don't know, probably like half an hour or 45 minutes of that Transformers game yesterday. And then I got distracted and did something else. But that PC version is a bummer in a few ways. In that it is very low on the options and seems to cap out at 1080. The resolution does not seem to go any higher than that. And I believe the frame rate is locked to 30. Which I, you know, the frame rate stuff I could get by. But the resolution stuff I think sucks. It sucks because it makes everything show up weird on my second monitor. You know, if I can't run it native res, I can't run it desktop resolution, everything on my second monitor goes to shit. So once it changes res, you know. But, I don't know, like, that game seems, you know, I hear it's really short, and, you know, I think there are aspects of it that are pretty, that are maybe a little weird, but that initial fucking, like, that initial burst of, like, yo, these are the Transformers you care about, fucking shit up, is pretty powerful. It makes a goddamn great first impression. You know, like, within the first little chunk of that game, you are Bumblebee just beating the shit out of Megatron. Like, in this, it's crazy. And Optimus Prime is there, but he's like, Bumblebee, you gotta fucking knock down Megatron's shield by crashing your car into it. And you're like, fucking, yeah, let's, okay, fuck. So, like, I mean, if you're looking for, like, fucking something that's gonna stay true to the, you know, the hierarchy of Transformers power, it doesn't make any sense, because you're like, man, Bumblebee can't fucking beat the shit out of, can't punch and fucking kick Megatron to fucking death. Like, that doesn't happen. But, it was fucking rad. And just, like, at the end of any combo, you just hit the fucking, you know, right bumper, and it just, it's like, it's a vehicle finisher. Like, hey, turn into a car and fucking crash into the dude you're punching. Like, alright, fuck. Cool, let's fucking do that. Like, it doesn't seem like it's super complicated. And some of the stuff you do between fights seems kind of dumb. But, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's still pretty cool. You know, I knew this was going to happen, and it's, you know, it was the sort of thing that, like, you kind of hear little bits of it in the previous things that were coming along, but, the voice actors of your youth, the voice actors of the original Transformers are getting up there in years, I think, and you can hear some of that in some of the voices. And the voice they got for Starscream, I think, is pretty, is not great. I want to say that guy passed away, right? The original Starscream Cobra Commander. Same dude, right? Any record? Yeah, new Starscream, like, they get the vibe of it downright, but, like, hearing someone else try to do that sneering kind of sarcastic disrespect of Megatron, I kind of terrible. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's the first, like, that's the first Transformers game I've seen that, like, kind of gets it right. I mean, it's, you know, it does. I wouldn't say that the action is necessarily true to the cartoons, but that doesn't necessarily make sense, you know, either. So, because, you know, it's like, obviously, it's this, like, character action melee combat game. You know, Optimus Prime always has his fucking energy axe that, you know, was only in, like, what, like, one episode, two episodes? That just, like, kind of busts out as part of his combos. Whereas, like, you know, you never saw, like, advanced fucking martial arts coming out of these guys. It's still kind of badass to see them fucking shit up like that. And, you know, they have to come up with fodder enemies, so it's just like, here's a bunch of generic Decepticon jets with, like, the cone head, like, ramjet and the second wave Decepticon jets, as opposed to the folded back head, like, you know, Thundercracker and Starscream and those guys. Or just generic cars, which, you know, there were not a lot of Decepticons that were just straight-up cars. I would be tentatively interested in hearing a new T.I. album, I don't know, or at least a couple of new songs out of T.I., I don't know, I don't hate T.I., some decent T.I. tracks. You don't want us to make a motherfucker sing. Turn it, hey, check, run it,
you don't want us to make a motherfucking scene.
Oh, good. Okay, all right. I was just thinking, like, oh, man, Chibi-Robo's out. We need to do something with that. We did something with that. It's up now. Good. It's nice when that works out. Pinball Arcade at Banzai Run. I wonder how they'd do that. I wonder if they'd be able to handle that. Because Banzai Run has, like, the ball goes up into the back glass. And you play up there, too. Which is fucking rude. Is it Future? No, it's not Future Pinball. That's a thing, though. But there's a new... There is a new fan-made pinball table, PinMame compliant piece of software out there that is, like, backwards compatible with some older types of tables that I was messing with a couple weeks ago. And it seemed pretty good. I would also really like the Monday Night Football table. It had goalposts and it had a ramp that would raise up and a ramp like a literal fucking ramp. The ball would fly through the air. Like you were kicking field goals or like. It was a good basketball themed one too. It's a fast break. It wasn't a licensed one. It wasn't like there's a Shaq table, but I don't think it wasn't that one. It's one where there was like kind of the four spots where the ball would land and it would shoot up and bounce through the hoop, or like there was a hoop on the table. I thought that was cool. That's a really good soccer one that has like an upper play field with a goalie that would kind of like, when you got it up to the goalie, it would just kind of like wag back and forth. And, you know, so you would get up there and have to try to shoot goals, and that was pretty awesome. But I don't know, like 8 Ball Deluxe would be nice to see in there. And I like that Space Invaders pinball machine. It's so different. Well, also, it's the first pinball machine I remember ever playing. So that's, you know, that's a thing. But just the art is so fucking weird compared to, like, actual Space Invaders. I like the Spy Hunter pinball machine. It's weird. Like, the flippers are not at the bottom center, they're like off to the side. And there's a whole different, like, left side weapons van playfield part that's all weird. I should check back in on kind of the whole visual pinball, fan-made, emulated pinball table thing one of these days. It's been a while. Man, yeah, I mean, just between High Speed and, you know, Black Knight and now F-14 Tomcat, like, Pinball Arcade kind of did it, you know? Like, there's definitely stuff I would like to see, but see, they announced a Stern-specific pinball arcade thing. Like, they did some kind of deal with Stern, and they're going to put out something that is separate from Pinball Arcade and focused on Stern tables. It's weird. I wish that stuff would just... I mean, I wonder if it'll all... Hopefully it'll all just float into Pinball Arcade also. But I imagine that's got to be one of those things where Stern just wanted better business terms and a better probably a thing to market that had their own name on it and didn't want to, you know, necessarily promote all of Pinball Arcade. Or, you know, they're like, hey, we want to put our new tables into something, but that's all a weird licensing thing, and, you know, we can't just let you put that into your own existing front end, and so you got to do a custom one-off thing for us. Or... I wonder what that'll look like. It's just weird. But that's cool. I wonder if you would ever see any of these pinball companies design a pinball machine to be, like, simultaneously released, you know, digitally and as a real pinball machine. You know? Like, you know, have Jersey Jack come through and be like, hey, we got this Wizard of Oz pinball machine. We want to do it this way, too, you know? You know, especially like the licensed stuff, like I want to play the Tron pinball machine for like a good length of time. I'd like to sit down and really fucking go through that thing, but I only see it once a year, and it's in a room full of all this other shit that I want to play. And I'm only, you know, it's like usually like when I go out for PAX East, when I'm in Boston, and we take a trip to the Pinball Wizard. That's what this is called, the Pinball Wizard Arcade in New Hampshire. A special Rich Gallop trip. We go out there and check out some shit. And that's usually the only time I see a Tron table. Fun Spot. We went to Fun Spot once. I don't know. Fun Spot's cool and all, but, well, a couple of things happen. First, Fun Spot supplies a lot of games to PAX East. They fill the retro game room with stuff from Fun Spot. So a lot of the games you might go to Fun Spot to see might not be there that weekend. And Fun Spot is big and cool, but also kind of grungy and a little, I don't know, like by the end of my day there, I was kind of depressed. There was definitely this feeling like, all right, I've been in this fucking giant arcade all day and like, it's kind of a pizza place. It's kind of a really big pizza place. And, like, the Mortal Kombat 2 machine is fucked up. And, like, there were just a couple of key machines that were fucked up when I was there that would kind of made it a bummer. What is this asshole doing? All right, I'm passing you and getting in front of you. All right. And, like, their weird indoor mini-golf thing and, you know, like, the, you know, the... It's a weird place. I don't know. It was cool. I'm super happy I went, and I actually would love to go back at some point, but there was definitely, like, by the end of spending a full day there, I was like, man. Yeah, it does have the environmental, like, the big motion space area, which my local arcade had one of those when I was a kid, so that was just how I played Space Harrier. All right, I gotta go. Made it here before 10 for once. Nice. Actually get some shit done before people start showing up. Alright, I'll see you guys later. Have a good day. And yes, do pipe it up, yes. Like it's it, when I saw it back at E3, I thought it was going to be like Titanfall. Like you have cards that you equip into slots. But they don't. They're not like one use cards or anything like that. They're not burn cards. It's just like, hey, you. This card is a grenade. Equip it into either your L1 or R1 slots, and then every 7 seconds you have a grenade to use. And then, like, the other one is like a sniper rifle. It's like every 9 seconds I can hit this, and then I have a single shot from a sniper rifle. Which is like an interesting way to give you kind of multiple weapons in. You know, I don't know. I'm not the guy to talk to about fucking the fiction and the fucking lore of fucking Star Wars. But, you know, you got one gun in that game. You know, it's not like, hey, I'm gonna switch to the pistol now because this one's out of ammo. It's like, no, it's a blaster rifle. Like, it can overheat, but just keep fucking shooting. And then, like, you know, it's an objective map. So, like, when you capture a pod or whatever, three little icons pop out of the pod, and you pick one of those up, and that's, like, a one-use power-up. And that can be, like, a better grenade, like a thermal imploder or whatever. Or it can be, like, a turret that you can throw down or, you know, so they give you kind of little one-off little power-ups to use, too. Which, you know, like, gives you some gear variety, even if it is a little random. Because otherwise, I feel like if it was just like, I don't know, you've got a blaster rifle, keep shooting. And maybe if you get a kill streak, you become a guy with a lightsaber for one round, you know, or whatever it is. Like, I feel like that would get pretty thin. Like, that's probably a pretty hard... It's probably a pretty hard thing to design when you think about, like, differentiating between weapons in a game with a bunch of laser cannons and, you know, like, laser blasters and shit. But, you know, they do stuff like rate of fire and range. You know, you get some drop-off at the edge of your range and stuff. Like, the last thing you unlock, or the last gun that I unlocked, that I think is the last gun you unlock, is, like, fires a lot faster and doesn't do as much damage and doesn't have as good range. But, man, it fucking pumps out shots. So up close, like, it's decent. But, you know, I don't know. It's cooler than I thought it would be. No, I don't know. I definitely heard people that were like more like die hard about their shooter fandom and trying to get all serious and all esports and all, and they were like not having it with anything in this game, which to me makes it sound like a game that I will probably be okay with. But yeah, I was in a conversation with a couple of guys yesterday that were, you know, very big Battlefield fans and stuff like that, and they were like, man, fuck this. I'm like, yeah, alright, I don't know. Seems like a fun little knock-around shooter for just funning around with. At this point, that's kind of the last thing I'm looking for out of a shooter, is like, man, let's take this serious. Probably like half an hour, 45 minutes of that Transformers game yesterday. And then I got distracted and did something else. But that PC version is a bummer in a few ways. In that it is very low on the options and seems to cap out at 1080. The resolution does not seem to go any higher than that. And I believe the frame rate is locked to 30. Which I, you know, the frame rate stuff I could get by. But the resolution stuff, I think, sucks. It sucks because it makes everything show up weird on my second monitor. You know, if I can't run it native res, I can't run it desktop resolution, everything on my second monitor goes to shit. So, once it changes res, you know. But I don't know. Like, that game seems, you know, I hear it's really short, and you know, I think there are aspects of it that are maybe a little weird. But that initial fucking, like, that initial burst of, like, yo, these are the Transformers you care about, fucking shit up, is pretty powerful. It makes a goddamn great first impression. You know, like, within the first little chunk of that game, you are Bumblebee just beating the shit out of Megatron. Like, in this, it's crazy. And Optimus Prime is there, but he's like, Bumblebee, you gotta fucking knock down Megatron's shield by crashing your car into it. And you're like, fucking, yeah, let's, okay, fuck. So, like, I mean, if you're looking for, like, fucking something that's gonna stay true to the, you know, the hierarchy of Transformers power, it doesn't make any sense, because you're like, man, Bumblebee can't fucking beat the shit out of, can't punch and fucking kick Megatron to fucking death, like, that doesn't happen. But, it was fucking rad. And just, like, at the end of any combo, you just hit the fucking, you know, right bumper, and it's a vehicle finisher. Like, hey, turn into a car and fucking crash into the dude you're punching. Like, alright, fuck. Cool, let's fucking do that. Like, it doesn't seem like it's super complicated. And some of the stuff you do between fights seems kind of dumb. But, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's still pretty cool. You know, I knew this was going to happen, and it's, you know, it was the sort of thing that, like, you kind of hear little bits of it in the previous things that were coming along, but, the voice actors of your youth, the voice actors of the original Transformers are getting up there in years, I think, and you can hear some of that in some of the voices. And the voice they got for Starscream, I think, is not great. I want to say that guy passed away, right? The original Starscream Cobra Commander. Same dude, right? Yeah, new Starscream, like, they get the vibe of it down right, but, like, hearing someone else try to do that sneering, kind of sarcastic, disrespect of Megatron, I kind of terrible. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's the first, like, that's the first Transformers game I've seen that, like, kind of gets it right. I mean, it's, you know, it does, I wouldn't say that the action is necessarily true to the cartoons, but that doesn't necessarily make sense, you know, either. So, because, you know, it's like, obviously, it's this, like, character action melee combat game. You know, Optimus Prime always has his fucking energy axe that, you know, was only in, like, what, like, one episode, two episodes? That just, like, kind of busts out as part of his combos. Whereas, like, you know, you never saw, like, advanced fucking martial arts coming out of these guys. It's still kind of badass to see them fucking shit up like that. And, you know, they have to come up with fodder enemies, so it's just like, here's a bunch of generic Decepticon jets with, like, the cone head, like, ramjet and the second wave Decepticon jets, as opposed to the folded back head, like, you know, Thundercracker and Starscream and those guys. Or just generic cars, which, you know, there were not a lot of Decepticons that were just straight-up cars.
Job. Well, these are
I would be tentatively interested in hearing a new T.I. album, I don't know, or at least a couple of new songs out of T.I., I don't know, I don't hate T.I., some decent T.I. tracks. You don't want us to make a motherfucker sing. Turn it, hey, check, run it,
I know you ain't wanna nigga, did you say?
Oh, good. Okay, all right. I was just thinking, like, oh, man, Chibi-Robo's out. We need to do something with that. We did something with that. It's up now. Good. It's nice when that works out. Pinball Arcade should add Bonsai Run. I wonder how they'd do that. I wonder if they'd be able to handle that. Because Bonsai Run has, like, the ball goes up into the back glass. And you play up there, too. Which is fucking rude. Is it Future? No, it's not Future Pinball. That's a thing, though. But there's a new... There is a new fan-made pinball table, PinMame-compliant piece of software out there that is, like, backwards compatible with some older types of tables that I was messing with a couple weeks ago. And it seemed pretty good. I would also really like the the Monday Night Football table. It had goalposts, and it had a ramp that would raise up, and a ramp like a literal fucking ramp. The ball would fly through the air. Like you were kicking field goals. Or like, there was a good basketball themed one, too. It's a fast break. It wasn't a licensed one. It wasn't like there's a Shaq table, but I don't think it wasn't that one. It's where there was like kind of the four spots where the ball would land and it would shoot up and bounce through the hoop, or like there was a hoop on the table. I thought that was cool. That's a really good soccer one that has like an upper play field with a goalie that would kind of like when you got it up to the goalie, it would just kind of like wag back and forth. And, you know, so you would get up there and have to try to shoot goals, and that was pretty awesome. But I don't know, like 8 Ball Deluxe would be nice to see in there. And I like that Space Invaders pinball machine. It's so different. Also, it's the first pinball machine I remember ever playing. So that's, you know, that's a thing. But just the art is so fucking weird compared to, like, actual Space Invaders. I like the Spy Hunter pinball machine. It's weird. Like the flippers are not at the bottom center, they're like off to the side. And there's a whole different, like, left side weapons van playfield part that's all weird. I should check back in on kind of the whole visual pinball, fan-made, emulated pinball table thing one of these days. It's been a while. Man, yeah, I mean, just between High Speed and, you know, Black Knight and now F-14 Tomcat, like, Pinball Arcade kind of did it, you know? Like, there's definitely stuff I would like to see, but Did you see they announced a Stern-specific pinball arcade thing? Like, they did some kind of deal with Stern, and they're going to put out something that is separate from pinball arcade and focused on Stern tables? It's weird. I wish that stuff would just... I mean, I wonder if it'll all... Hopefully it'll all just float into pinball arcade also. But I imagine that's got to be one of those things where Stern just wanted better business terms and a better probably a thing to market that had their own name on it and didn't want to, you know, necessarily promote all of Pinball Arcade. Or, you know, they're like, hey, we want to put our new tables into something, but that's all a weird licensing thing, and, you know, we can't just let you put that into your own existing front end, and so you got to do a custom one-off thing for us. Or... I wonder what that'll look like. It's just weird. But that's cool. I wonder if you would ever see any of these pinball companies design a pinball machine to be, like, simultaneously released, you know, digitally and as a real pinball machine. You know? Like, you know, have Jersey Jack come through and be like, hey, we got this Wizard of Oz pinball machine. We want to do it this way, too, you know? You know, especially like the licensed stuff, like I want to play the Tron pinball machine for like a good length of time. I'd like to sit down and really fucking go through that thing, but I only see it once a year, and it's in a room full of all this other shit that I want to play. And I'm only, you know, it's like usually like when I go out for PAX East, when I'm in Boston, and we take a trip to the Pinball Wizard. I think that's what this is called, the Pinball Wizard Arcade. In New Hampshire. A special Rich Gallop trip. We go out there and check out some shit. And that's usually the only time I see a Tron table. Fun Spot. We went to Fun Spot once. I don't know. Fun Spot's cool and all, but, well, a couple of things happen. First, Fun Spot supplies a lot of games to PAX East. They fill the retro game room with stuff from Fun Spot. So a lot of the games you might go to Fun Spot to see might not be there that weekend. And Fun Spot is big and cool, but also kind of grungy and a little, I don't know, like by the end of my day there, I was kind of depressed. There was definitely this feeling like, all right, I've been in this fucking giant arcade all day and like, it's kind of a pizza place. It's kind of a really big pizza place. And, like, the Mortal Kombat 2 machine is fucked up. And, like, there were just a couple of key machines that were fucked up when I was there that would kind of made it a bummer. What is this asshole doing? All right, I'm passing you and getting in front of you. All right. And, like, their weird indoor mini-golf thing and, you know, like, the... It's a weird place. I don't know. It was cool. I'm super happy I went, and I actually would love to go back at some point. But there was definitely, like, by the end of spending a full day there, I was like, man. Yeah, it does have the environmental, like, the big motion space area, which my local arcade had one of those when I was a kid, so that was just how I played Space Harrier. All right, I gotta go. Made it here before 10 for once. Nice. Actually get some shit done before people start showing up. All right, I'll see you guys later. Have a good day. And yes, do pipe it up, yes.